35 minutes after the hour. Welcome back to Faith Radio Mornings. Glad you're here with us, Bill Arnold in studio. A couple of things I'm realizing nowadays. I get people that call me sir, which is nice. Just the other day, somebody said, sir, you've had enough free samples. Stop. So I thought, okay, well, I can do that. And then the other thing people say to me, I probably get stopped 300 or 400 times a day on the street saying, I listen to your radio show. How do you make it look so easy? And I always have the same answer. I just get good guests on the show. And I have Dr. Alex McFarland, and so all I do is get him on, and all of a sudden it makes my job look easy. So, Alex, welcome to the back of the show.
You are so gracious. Good morning to you, Bill. Thanks for that gracious intro.
Well, it's really true. I mean, I just love everything you say, and you do so much solid thinking, and you process it, and you give it to us in little bites that we can put it in a brown paper bag and walk away with. And I think that's really a key to a good interview is to have something you can take away. Now, this morning we're going to talk about the myths of being a Christian. And, you know, myth number six is Christianity's boring and a waste of time. And and, you know, people think, well, heaven, isn't that just like one long continuous church service that I don't want to go to here on earth? Why would I want to go there? Talk about that.
Yeah, you know, I wrote this book called The God You Thought You Knew, and the subtitle is Exposing the 10 Biggest Myths About Christianity. And I compiled the research in a number of ways, one of which was talking with young people. Over 2014, 2015, I was speaking at a number of colleges and other places, and a number of young people, and when I say young people, I guess I would say maybe 23, 24 and younger, so, you know, 16, 17 to the early 20s, several would say, you know, I would become a Christian, but it might be boring. And as you can relate, I'm sure, for those that have known the Lord more than 30 minutes, I mean, you have to chuckle because Christianity is a lot of things, but it is not dull, is it?
No, not in the least.
You know, not only the things God will do through your life and the places God will take you and the things God will do through you and in you, but I would say Christianity is a thrilling adventure also in terms of just the intellectual side of it, the thought life, to learn the Word of God and to learn biblical worldview and to begin to understand how life operates and how God designed. I mean, some of the most important things in all of our life, like marriage and family and interpersonal relationships. And then one of the most interesting things about being a Christian, I think, is what I would call body life. I mean, think about it. You and I are hundreds and hundreds of miles away. We would have never known each other except for Jesus. And in Christ, you've got these people all over the world that you meet, total strangers, but they're like dear friends because you have Jesus in common. And so in terms of, I think about this. I was a chronic introvert. I was so shy. I had to go to summer school. I was in a gifted and talented program at my high school, but I failed 11th grade English, had to go to summer school because I could not get up in front of a class and do a final project. I mean, I would not get up and speak in front of a group. And now I get up, I stay in the homes of total strangers every weekend of the year almost. I get up and speak in front of hundreds of people, do Q&A in front of thousands of people. It would have terrified me. Jesus not only saved my soul, he changed my personality. And never dreamed that I would go from rural North Carolina, from the farm of a chicken farm, to five continents and 50 states and, you know, preach the gospel of Jesus and meet with, you know, aspiring presidential candidates to talk about religion and culture. I'm giving God the glory. But Christianity, experientially, intellectually, emotionally, it is the most exciting adventure on which one will ever embark.
I have almost nothing to say except, wow, that is so well put, and you are so accurate, because my feelings and my heart resonates with everything you just said, because when you are on a life committed and surrendered to Christ, the doors that become open and the adventure you have and the relationships you build, there is no equal.
Yeah, I know. Isn't that something? And I think C.S. Lewis said this, that in Christ you don't lose yourself, in Christ you find yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And I really don't think that you can become a complete person without Jesus leading your life. I really believe that. So, and even in terms of heaven, I mean, there are misconceptions about heaven that we're just going to sit on a cloud and pluck a harp for all of eternity, and that does sound kind of boring.
Mm-hmm.
But, 1 Corinthians 2:9, which is basically a paraphrase of an Old Testament quote, says, "Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those that love him." And, basically that's saying, okay, heaven is going to blow your mind because it's better and more than we could ever dream. Ephesians closes out and it says into the ages we will learn more and more about his grace and love. 1 Corinthians 13 says, now we see through a glass darkly. See, this life, with all of its accoutrements, we think is the real story. And life is great, life is a blessing, but the afterlife with Jesus is going to be more real, more technicolor than anything we've ever experienced down here.
Mm-hmm. And plus, the people who play harp on earth, I always thought, boy, they're going to have an unfair advantage in heaven if that's what heaven is, because they're going to already be harpists when they get there, and I'm going to be, I can't play as good as this person, so that I'm already going to be mad. And that's not
maybe,
heaven.
Maybe we'll just have it imparted to us. Maybe,
okay.
I've been a guitar player since I was like 7, and it talks in the Psalms about praising the Lord on the instrument of 10 strings or something.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe in heaven we'll just have the harp ability of Eric Clapton on day one. Who knows,
Oh, that would be nice. That would be nice. I'm going to play Layla day one.
Uh-huh. God bless you, Will. So are you a guitar player yourself?
I'm not. I play a 5-string banjo.
Do you really?
Yeah, yeah.
Cool.
And I do that because I like solitude. And when you start playing the banjo, you get it.
That's pretty funny. seriously, now, do you play like bluegrass or country music?
Yeah, Scruggs style bluegrass.
Well, sometime if I'm up your way, we'll have to jam a little bit.
That'd be great.
Have you ever heard of Robbie George, who's at, I believe he's at Princeton, great Christian thinker. He was a friend of Chuck Colson.
Oh, yeah.
Robert George, he's a Christian thinker that people need to know about. We brought him down to North Carolina to speak, and he asked me if I knew who Doc Watson was.
Oh, yeah.
And I said, oh, yeah. I actually met him a number of times. Great Christian, one of the most amazing guitar players in history. So Robbie George and I broke out guitars and started playing Doc Watson tunes. the audience was there to hear us talk about biblical worldview, but we had to get in some bluegrass.
Okay, now this illustrates your point perfectly. You talk about the adventure of being a Christian. What are the odds that you would have connected with him, Robbie George, and all of a sudden cracked out bluegrass and Doc Watson? There you go. There's your point.
Isn't that something? And, the thing about it, Christians, we need to be relatable. And when we come to Jesus, it doesn't mean that we have to be these sanitized little saintly people that sit around in choir robes all day, We're real people. And coming to Jesus, it's not the subtraction of personality. By the way, this is interesting, I think. In Eastern religion, part of the goal is to lose yourself. You lose personhood. You become a big blip in the cosmic pond of nothingness,
mm-hmm.
called Maya.
Mm-hmm.
But in Christianity affirms personhood. I mean, you'll always be Bill. And by the way, Christianity affirms gender. Gender is an inherent part of who God made you to be.
Mm-hmm.
Now, sometimes, sexually and emotionally, we get wounded, and we need Christ to heal our understanding of our gender or our self-awareness. But maleness or femaleness is an inherent part of who we are, your name, your personality. And so in Jesus, unlike Eastern religions, it's not the elimination of personhood, but it's the healing, the restoration, the completion of the person God made you to be.
Mm-hmm.
So back to the point of this exciting adventure, I really don't think you can become the complete you, the real you, apart from the restorative hand of Jesus.
Oh, I completely agree. And Dr. McFarland, when I got an iWatch for Christmas, well, I bought it. I got a good deal on it too. It just had one scratch on it through the serial number.
Oh.
But as I was setting it up, as I was setting it up, the gender choices were male, female, or other. And I thought, that's interesting.
Really?
What's other?
Wow.
Yeah. Anyway, we're going to take a little break. If you don't mind, we'll come right back with more questions and more answers. So
sure.
It's 46 after the hour. Be back in just a minute. Welcome back to Faith Radio Mornings, 48 minutes after the hour, or hello if you just joined us. Nice to have you on board. I'm talking to Dr. Alex McFarland. He is an author, a brilliant thinker, an apologist. He does it all. And I just found out today he's a guitar player, so his cool factor just went up by 62.9% in my book.
Well, you're very kind. I wanted to pick up the violin, so I bought this violin on eBay, you know. And my wife, it's really been one of the biggest challenges our marriage has ever faced, trying to learn to play. The dog, like, sometimes will howl while I'm trying to practice the violin. And my wife comes in, she goes, "Hey, can't you play something the dog doesn't know?"
Oh, that's so funny.
So I think I'm going to stick with guitar because violin is like infinitely harder.
Yeah, when you're learning, that is fingernails on a blackboard for sure. Let's get back to myth Christianity. That out of your book, myth number 6, that Christianity is boring, and we want to stand and say no, it's not. There's a lot of younger people in particular that just can't put their arms around the fact that they can have a really happy, exciting, fulfilling life as a Christian.
Yeah, you know, I think one of the lies of Satan is that the path to fun or fulfillment is in self-indulgence. Because, you know, not only spiritually, but even sociologists say that some of the most unhappy people are the most narcissistic. And really, the path to frustration is just to focus on ourselves and to feed on ourselves. Christianity basically says the best thing you can ever do for you is to stop thinking about you
mm-hmm.
and think about Christ and think about others. But another lie that the devil hooks people with is that sin is the path to satisfaction, when in reality, if we're willing to do things God's way, we find that fulfillment and that really joy that we were looking for. Let's just talk about sexual immorality. You know, our culture is inundated with sexual imagery and no moral boundaries. The pathway to freedom and enlightenment is just do whatever you want and it feels good, you know, do it. Christianity says, no, there are some moral boundaries. And God, among other things, we are sexual beings, and God has made a context whereby we can experience sexual fulfillment, and that's called marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Monogamy is not monotony. Really, the study after study show that people with the greatest level of sexual fulfillment and interpersonal relationship fulfillment, happiness, stability, assurance, is within the family and within a committed marriage. Heterosexual monogamy is God's design for marriage. So, you know, we tell ourselves lies about how sin will do it for us and we'll be happy. And in reality, when we focus on ourselves and when we live with no boundaries, no moral constraints, not only are those some of the most unhappy people, it actually can shorten our lives.
Mm-hmm. It's important to remind people God has the absolute highest view of sexuality, doesn't he?
He does. He really does. Josh McDowell, I've heard Josh McDowell say this in the seminars that he's done and he and I have done together. He says to young people, look, God wants you to have sex. God wants you to have good sex and a fulfilling part of that part of your life. However, God has made a context for that to take place, and it's called marriage. I know this is a terrible, well, not, it's a good illustration. It's been used. It's not original with me, but it's like fire. You know, fire is a great thing. It can cook the food and keep the house warm, but if you take the fire out of the fireplace, it can burn the house down.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that's been just one of the biggest challenges I think our culture has ever faced has been the breakdown of the family. And I could do an entire career just counseling people with sexual baggage and deep, deep emotional wounds from buying the lie that the highest good of life, the summum bonum of life, is just to begin to have sex at an early age and have as most and as many partners as possible. My wife and I counsel people all the time that are in their early 20s and early adulthood, and they're wounded sexually because they thought it would be boring to walk God's path, when in reality, it's not only safe to walk God's path, it's satisfying.
Yeah. Dr. McFarland, you are a tsunami of wisdom. Thank you so much for being on the show. Have a wonderful weekend, and I look forward to talking to you again soon.
Thank you, Bill. God bless you, my friend.
Thank you so much. 54 minutes after the hour, Bill Arnold here. I'll be back in just a minute.